Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I'm joined by my co-host. Let's go to Murph this week. Murph, looking fancy in your new digs, Murph. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Moved into a new house this past week, so I've been kind of MIA. And, you know, Sunday came around, so I felt like the only thing obvious to do was have my boy Ryan over, watch the Giants, and as always, Giants christened the house for me. Shit all over the bed. So, yeah, here we are, Mage. We did talk earlier briefly. Well, we didn't even talk. You called me, but I did call you back because we haven't really talked this week. So, looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, actually, you did not call me back. You hung up on me. You didn't even say two things. The conversation lasted about 17 seconds. You hung up on me, never called me back. So, you know, thanks for reminding me because I almost forgot about it. But we do have to let people know that you did have to move because you started getting death threats mailed to your original address. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Correct. So
people found out where you lived.
Yep. Philip.
Probably Philip, I don't know. Philip might be he might be more of a groupie for you. So
yeah, I see somebody out there in the tree right now. That might be Philip.
It could be. He could be tweeting right from outside your window. But let me turn the attention to Tino. Tino, let me say Merry Mexmas. How are you, Tino?
Very merry. I did want to also state that we are 5 episodes away from our 100th episode. And I know what you're thinking. Maybe I'm saying this so I could allude to maybe preview something for the 100th episode. No, I'm saying that so all of us know and we don't forget, because we tend to forget what episode we're on. So we're 5 episodes away from this point on. And that's exciting. That's exciting, guys. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It would have been 4 episodes if you and Murph weren't acting like a little bitch last week. But
is that not deservingly so? I think I deserve to act like a bitch. I think it was totally fair. If the Giants thought it was enough to serve fans one medium soda, then I think it was fair that I missed one podcast episode to talk about the Giants at least.
But, I mean, we do have to lead off, though, to, you know, I mean, yeah, you mentioned it before the show. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and mention it now.
The Mets got their guy. Finally, we didn't fuck it up. It took a little bit. Everyone knew he was going to come eventually, or we thought he was going to come eventually, but we got him, Buck Showalter, 3 years. The 3-year window starts, boys. The 3-year window starts. We can't mention players by name because we are a high-end media outlet here with tons of baseball affiliation, and there is no mentioning of players' names during the lockout. I'm totally fucking kidding, but if you watch the press conference today, they couldn't mention players by name for that reason. But, dude, it was awesome. If you watch 10 minutes of that, you'll get excited. Buck Showalter's the fucking man. If no one, you know, knew anything about him prior to this, he took the Orioles to the playoffs 3 times. It's about everything you need to know. He's a good manager.
Hey, the Mets did not miss this year on the prospects. They went out. They got their center fielder finally. They got Starling Marte. They went out. They got the best pitch on the mat, the market, and Max Scherzer. And they went out and they brought in the best manager possible. And I'll tell you what, too, what I really like about it, too, Tina. I was listening to Buck Showalter today on the fan, but the guy just tells it like it is, man. Mm-hmm. He's a no-nonsense type of guy. I think he's going to fit in perfectly with Sandy and Steve, Uncle Steve. So, I love the hire. And guess what? I mean, you don't have to worry about Louis Rojas pulling guys.
Well, I mean, we're going from Louis Rojas to Buck Showalter. Let that sink in. I also think it was telling that Steve Cohen made the announcement that we got Buck done because, you know, Steve show, right? So, and
Uncle Steve loves breaking his own news, though.
Yeah, it's great. But we'll see how everything mends together. But what he said today was basically, don't think my old school mentality is going to mean we're behind on analytics, which, you know, I think everyone was breaking his balls on. And, Yeah, I mean, he could talk the game. We'll see. But I don't think there's any problem with it. I think the Mets need to worry less about analytics and more about leadership, which we should be getting with everything we've added. So I think that's the big thing. The biggest takeaway is some leadership, especially with the clubhouse issues.
Yeah, but, you know, too many teams. I mean, you know, we have Murphy, but speaking of the Yankees, I mean, too many teams rely on analytics. Aaron Boone does, right? Analytics that you got to pull this guy in the six. I don't think that's what the Mets are getting with Buck Showalter. They're not. They're getting an actual manager that has an acumen for the game, understands, hey, look, if he's going to mix in analytics, I mean, that's only a bonus to what Buck brings to the Mets. And quite frankly, I sent you a picture the other day of Murph outside of Citi Field with his Mets stuff on. I
did see that. What's going on? Did you switch your allegiances, Murph?
Or he did.
I'm switching my allegiances, but I've been a Buck Showalter fan before you guys even fucking wanted Buck Showalter. I've been asking for the Yankees to hire him for years.
Well, I wanted.
Obviously they already did.
Yeah, they did have him.
I'm jealous. I am jealous. And just like you guys just said, he's a no-nonsense, hard-nosed guy. Baseball needs more of that right now. Not this analytic bullshit computer machine crap. I mean, he's a direct opposite of Aaron Boone. He's actually literally polar opposite. So I'm jealous. Yeah, I'm jealous. No, I'm not going to switch my allegiance because I'm not a bitch, but I'm jealous.
Well, less about the Yankees, more about the Giants jersey you were wearing. It's not too late to burn it. It's not too late to burn it if you wanted to.
I don't have it. Oh, in the picture?
Yeah, I mean, you were in Giants gear. Guys, I mean, we're going to have to talk
about the Murph jersey. I'm not burning Murph.
No, it's don't burn the Murph jersey. But it's Giants colors. It's just, I mean, where do you want to start? Let's start at what
pays the bills. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @clapback_sports. Follow me at @themage_NFL. Follow Tino at @TinoRodriguez, _ at the end. And follow Murph. Murph, do you still have your other account?
Yeah, I do. I've just been tweeting Giants lately, man.
You've been going nuts on the Clapback account. I mean,
I was off for a week, man.
Forget trying to even get credentials from Pat Hanlon. That's not happening now, the way you've been going at him.
Fuck that.
Follow Murph at Murph714. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. I didn't know if you changed it again.
Clapback Sports would never get credentialed. There's just no way they would let us.
But that's what I said earlier. I mean,
maybe one of us, but they'd just be like, Murph can't come.
Well, you were on the text message earlier, Robert. Tino. I mean, yeah. Murph was trying to get one of the Giants' old scouts in here. I forget what his name is, Steve something. That's all he's got to do is take one look at the Clapback Twitter account and be like, fuck it, I'm not going on that podcast. Bunch of derelicts calling people soy boy cucks and everything else. So yeah. Who's this idiot tweeting at Pat Hanlon 22 times a day?
I feel like that's the only person I've really been attacking lately.
Well, you know what? In other news, too, I think maybe we could get Bobby Skinner to start running the Clapback Sports account because Bobby was suspended from Twitter.
Wait, was he?
Now he knows what the fucking team does to me, man.
That's disappointing. I did notice he was off lately now that I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, he was
– because I'm pretty sure I would think this is why he said he would kill all Cowboys fans. And you know what?
It was a lot.
All his efforts. didn't really get through the cracks. But, hey, Mr. Skinner, shout out to you on your first suspension.
First, I think it's a permanent ban. I think it's a permanent suspension. I've been talking to Bobby. He's trying to get the account back, you know, doing whatever he can. But he went full Murph on Twitter.
It happens to the best of us. It really does.
Well, you're smart enough to stay off of Twitter, you
know? Yeah, you know, only when Philip tweets me do I check. This is a Philip dedicated episode.
We got to get Philip on here one day.
You said he would you wanted him to roast me. Is that why you wanted him on here?
Oh, well, I said yeah, we could just bring him on just this way he could talk shit to you the whole
why episode. Do you think we wouldn't get along? I think if anything you'll instigate me and you. I think that's what he wants to see more.
He might, but I think we kind of won Philip over. I love it because, you know what, Philip started as a guy that, you know, fuck you guys. You guys sucked. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, yeah, I think we've gotten the Philip soft side. So
It's because I told you I'd play Nutcracker with you is the only reason we won him over. I don't know if that's necessarily winning him over. More of him just wanting to see us hit each other.
It's not a good story unless you tell them that we're going to do it at MetLife, at the Pepsi Field in front of the little kids.
That's true. Which is going to happen.
I don't know about at MetLife, but we can do it some.
Also, I'm done attacking MetLife. We're going for Quest.
Oh, I like that. Let's go for the bubble.
Pop that shit.
Wait,
I want to attack the offices.
Just don't deserve our chaos. They got enough shit to deal with.
You're right. I had an opportunity to go to the game this weekend, and I didn't do it. This time, I ignored all signs, and I finally listened to you guys. I thought of you when I said no.
I barely watched them.
I barely hardly watched. I can't watch. What is there to watch?
So let's jump right into it, man. Why the fuck did it take all but 3 minutes of the game to put Fromm in? The Giants didn't even try to move the needle on Sunday. The score is fucking 15-6. Glennon wasn't getting it done. Why not dart? Y'all got nothing because I got nothing.
I'm deflated. I'm just deflated. I can't even click on the link to pull up the box score. I just see 21-6, and I don't even want to look.
Well, here's what I'm most disappointed about. I started Mike Glennon over Jared Goff in a league, and Mike Glennon, with his fantastic stat day, 99 yards passing, 3 interceptions, got me negative points. So,
I mean, is it a deep dynasty league? I would have never started. You can't start Mike Glennon.
It's the dynasty league that you jinxed us in, Tino.
That's not a dynasty. That's a redraft league, though.
Redraft league. Sorry. But, it's the fantasy league that you jinxed us in. Mm. So now I may end up losing all because you jinxed us.
Maybe you'll learn your lesson.
What? Start off over Glennon next time?
No. When someone shows love to you, you don't stomp on it. You reciprocate that love.
Mike Glennon was awful. Saquon Barkley looked a lot better running the ball, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. They ran Booker a little bit more. They kind of did what we were talking about. I will say that for a little bit there. Let Booker beat up the middle, like the middle part of the field, and then get Barkley in towards the tail end. But I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for me to even watch these drives. We can't sustain them to begin with. Let alone what the fuck we're trying out there. Every time I look on the field, I see Kenny Golladay suiting up, doing absolutely nothing. I just like throw up inside. It's brutal, dude. It's so brutal. I mean, what do you even talk about?
I don't get it because it didn't feel like. It doesn't feel like Joe even tries to get creative, or it doesn't even have to be Joe. It can be anybody. You can talk about anybody. The Giants doesn't even feel like they want to get creative. Like, you want to win that game on Sunday, or do you want to just fucking try to win that game on Sunday?
They want to try to not lose that game.
Like, as bad as the Cowboys were playing, you could have thrown Fromm in there and seen what happened. I get it, dude. I understand. It's just bitching to bitch, and it is what it is. But, like, I don't get it, and that's why I continue to say to Mage and the guys in our group chat that everything that happens with this team just tells me even more that everybody's safe because they're not even trying other things. Why isn't Isaiah Wilson getting any reps? Why did it take all the way till what week is this? Week 13 to get Matt Kirk almost 4 quarters of play, even though he wasn't even that good. I just don't get it, man. It doesn't seem like there's any sense of urgency in anything right now. And it just tells me that this is just going to be a slow burn.
I'm terrified if it's a slow burn, dude. I'm terrified.
I do want to chime in real quick, Tino, and then, because you talked about Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
And Murph talked about Jay Fromm coming in late. Jay Fromm did target Kenny Golladay on that drive. 3 times he's had 7 targets total all game. So almost half of his targets came on that drive from Jay Fromm. Why does it take, who is a fourth string quarterback, right? Now the backup quarterback, presumably the starter next week. Why does it take him to come in and target your top wideout three times? I mean, Mike Glennon couldn't figure this out. Jason Garrett couldn't figure this out. Daniel Jones. Now, I know that Dallas was playing a little softer defense. I mean, you know, what was it? 3-minute offense, I believe. But what I really liked out of Jake Fromm, too, was that Jake Fromm took the snap. His cadence, man, he was trying to draw people offsides as well. He had a really good hard count. And he looked in command of the offense. But after the snap, though, too, he was also calling out protections. He was calling out the mic. I remember he called out 11 on one play. But after, too, he took the snap, and he would survey the actual field. You could actually see him go through his reads, look to the left, come back to the middle, go to the right before making a decision on throwing the ball. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited. I just want to see. I don't know if Jake Fromm is the savior. He was a quarterback for a reason, or a practice squad quarterback, but I do want to, you know, at least see what he the rest of the season. Anything's got to be better than Mike Glennon at this point.
Jake Fromm is not the savior, and dude, I am just exhausted mentally with, like, the reason I took last week off is because, like, what I spoke sadly into reality is actually happening. Like, we're gaining nothing out of these last couple of games. Like, what bothered me most about what Murph said is that how spot on he sounded, that everyone's safe and they're doing nothing about it. That's pathetic. And that's everything that's wrong with this fucking team right now. The complacency, no urgency, no commitment to do one or the other. You either suck or you don't.
Well, the and Giants we just tank
suck,
it.
But like, and we're not even, we're trying to act like we don't suck. Like our dysfunction isn't like other teams' dysfunction. It bothers me. Like, it's not glaring dysfunction that you can just burn it down. It like fucking seeps in your skin. It really is a slow burn. It drives you crazy. It really does. I mean, it bothers me that they feel as safe as they do. It bothers me.
If the coaching staff is safe, if Joe Judge is safe, We're all in agreement that Dave Gettleman's probably gone at the end of the season.
But then is Danny safe? Is that what you're going to say? Because it's like...
I personally do think Danny is safe, yes. But here's my question, though. Is Joe Judge pulling a tank job?
It's a shitty pull.
I've been saying it on the Twitter line. I fucking hate having to say that, but like, yeah. I mean, what I said earlier is... recipe for a tank job. You can still compete and be competitive, but tank. I mean,
yeah,
things and I don't think they can do this, but if Fromm doesn't start on Sunday, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how you can say they're not tank.
Yep. I just need
I mean, for all the shit we say about it, you can't tank and you can't play losing the NFL. Well, I'm just seeing things on like, why aren't we trying? Parrott and Fromm have to start on Sunday to prove that to be wrong.
Question. This will get us off the track. I just need it from your perspective because I really will make sense of it. And Mage, I know you were spot on with it, but why not put Danny on the IR sooner?
Well, they did the same shit with Saquon. They did the same shit with Tony.
What is their obsession with?
I totally get it, man.
The carpenter was right.
He was, but you know what? Take Danny out of it, man. Saquon should have been on IR. What the fuck did Saquon not go on IR for all the time he missed?
That's the one thing I can't wrap my head around. I don't understand
it. I mean, I do think Danny was going through the motions. I do think that they... you know, would have liked to see him get cleared because, yeah, I think he's back, but I still don't think they're sold on him. But, I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, what the fuck was the wait? We should have had another quarterback in here.
Here's the reason why the Giants don't put Danny on IR sooner. If you are hoping that Danny comes back this season, right? This is a reason why I think Jake Fromm didn't get started sooner. If you think that Danny is going to come back, if Jake Fromm comes in and Jake Fromm plays well, you're now going to have a quarterback controversy on your hands, whether you like it or not. So to protect Danny, you don't play him unless it's absolutely necessary. I think he came back, and I think it's probably worse than it is, and they decided to finally shelve him. Look, guys, again, I said this, and by the way, I am now, Tino, I know you're not on Twitter, but the Mage NFL is now an NFL source. I'm just letting you know.
I love that. I love that for you. Here's what bothers me, though. Okay, you said what you said, but that is bullshit, because how can we have a quarterback controversy? Why wouldn't we be like every other team? You've seen it with every team this year. Backup quarterbacks have played plenty. Young backup quarterbacks. I'm seeing it with the Eagles right now. I mean, we make the joke of the Gardner Minshew, but they say, no, fuck it. Who gives a shit? We're going to start a guy anyways. If you start Jake Fromm sooner and he's doing well, I just...
Because the Giants, unlike other organizations, cave to what their fan base wants. And I absolutely hate that about this team. Absolutely hate that. They give too much credence to what the fans want. They listen to the pulse of the fans. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. But in situations, especially when it comes to personnel, how you feel, Dave Gettleman is on his way out. Not because John Mara thinks he did a bad job, but because the fans think he did a bad job. That's no way to run a professional football team. None. And I'll be honest, I do think that there could be more to Danny's injury. I don't know if Danny starts the season next year, right? They're saying that with a rest and relaxation for the rest of the season, that he should be able to make a full recovery, but it's bad, man. There's something else there that they're not telling us.
So here's my overall plan. I don't want to talk about draft stuff yet, but with Danny potentially having a career-ending injury, right? I mean, like, there's no way the Giants are this stupid. If they're going to have more information than any of us playing doctor do, right? I mean, they can't be that oblivious. So if it's nearing that, what do you do? Well, I mean,
I did say to shut him down last year after the hamstring injury, and I was
my told. Point is, if Danny's broken, if we broke Danny officially. I mean, I know I saw one of you two say it already, but you 1,000% have to get a legitimate placeholder quarterback. I'm not saying it has to be Russ. It could be anybody else, but that has to be the plan. There's no other option. You're not using one of those two top five picks on a quarterback. You could get one late. Mike Glennon's terrible. Jake Fromm, you're getting nothing from. And if we don't have Danny, we have zero quarterbacks next year.
No, I mean, I don't even think it's a question. I mean,
I'm sorry, Murph. Are we keeping you awake?
So, yeah.
It's been a long week. And fuck the Giants. I don't think it's in question, though. Like, you can't use those first two. And I'm in the boat that you can't use the second either. But I understand the Carson Strong talk and, you know, maybe somebody will fall to the second. But it's the same reason why I don't want to trade for Russ. We need those fucking picks, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's got to be a bridge. It's got to be a vet. It's the only way, and I think Danny comes back, and I think we bring in another vet, but probably maybe a little bit someone more of a higher
this
caliber.
This is the Kurt Warner year, I'm telling you. This is the fucking Kurt Warner year.
But we've already Murph done
has,
that.
Murph has mentioned this round. Name, and Murph, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm a little intrigued by it, but Mariota is a free agent next year.
I mean, the three guys that I'm looking at, and I know you guys don't like them, it's Mariota. I'm still looking at Matt Ryan if we need a guy to just come give competition to Danny.
I mean, what are you doing? Trading for him or if he's released?
Release.
He's making way too much money.
Anything we do is from a free agent standpoint. I'm not doing anything else. I mean, cool, if you want to trade like a fifth or sixth or fourth for some guy, whatever. But
can't afford Matt Ryan's contract, though.
No, he's going to have to be cut, and we don't even know if that happens. But it's Mariota, it's Matt Ryan, and I guess maybe a Jimmy Garoppolo. But again, they all got to be free agents. And why? Like, can we just
if the Giants choose, one more year? If the Giants use their two first-round picks on an offensive line this year, if they get plays older like you're talking about, let's say it's a Mariota, or even let's say Fitzpatrick, whatever it might be, Derek Carr is also going to be a free agent in 2023, who is somebody that I wouldn't mind making a run at either.
Are you team you're going to use both those first-round picks on offensive linemen?
I have to see how
I am telling you the Giants are going to fuck up one of those two picks if they stay where they are. The only – and everyone's trading down. I think the only way the tank works and everything the Giants think they're doing well works at all is they get into the top two with one of those two top five picks. They have to trade up. They can't trade back.
For what?
So here's
one of the two ends. They just solidify it. You have this draft the way it is. There's going to be so much value on the back end. Teams are actually going to have to draft. And if the Giants have proven anything, we are not trusted to do that. At least not early in the draft.
But it's going to cost a first to get into the top two.
I don't necessarily think so, though. Well,
that's just how it goes,
though. I agree with Tino, though, right? Because if you're in the top five and you're moving up to the second pick. The Jets gave up 3 seconds to go from six to So you're talking about the same type of movement. You're only talking about the difference of three picks.
If we can keep that up and first, allocate then, something yeah. that is technically a trade back. Like, I don't like you can get an asset later in the round. Like, you can still get something back with that as well.
So I did see a mock draft that had us trading up to two for Kayvon Thibodeau and then staying at six or five, whatever it was, and taking Evan Neal. If we did that, that's fine by me.
I think the only way we win this draft and come out of this alive is if we trade in the top two. I'm starting it now. Listen to the fan. Like, I really do. I don't trust them with two top 10 picks. Scares the shit out of me.
Personally, for me,
I mean, with two DBs on the board too, I don't trust them either.
No,
I want to take the top offensive tackle available. Right now, I have that. I have that kid, Ikem, ahead of Evan Neal. So I would take him over Evan Neal. And then I would wait to see what falls. Now, here's the other thing. If Evan Neal and Ekwonu, I believe his name is, I'm probably butchering it, so that's for Bull Bitler there. But if they're both on the board, I would consider taking them at 5 and 6. And the reason is, too, is because Ikem can play guard or tackle. So now if you have a situation where you lose either somebody at left tackle or right tackle, you still have the flexibility to move them outside. Worst case scenario, if Andrew Thomas is out this season, you got a starting left tackle, you got a starting left guard, and a starting right tackle. I know people will lose their shit when I say this, but for me, center is probably the most replaceable position on that offensive line. And I know people will disagree, but it's also probably the cheapest.
But it's so, in its own right, it's also one of the most valuable, too, as crazy as that sounds.
I get that, right? Because the center is pretty much the quarterback on that offensive line, calling out protection, stuff like that. But you can also have other people do that as well. You can also have a guard do that if you feel entrusted with them.
I feel as if the Giants need a franchise-changing player. They do. And it is not coming on the offensive side of the ball. And it definitely won't happen if we just draft offensive linemen because our fan base is completely impatient and fucking rip our best player, who's Andrew Thomas, still, if they wanted to. And they just decide to find a bad clip on him. It is what it is. I think we need to jump out of a cannon.
I'm kind of selling me here.
Dude, it's like the only thing in my head at this point. We're so fucked. I need to mention it because I've talked about this on the show with you guys and we did our mock drafts. I told you guys Micah Parsons was a Cowboys fit, but he was who he was. And our bullshit of not wanting to take character concerns is going to bite us in the ass. The Dallas Cowboys defense was trashed. You get a fucking franchise side of the ball changing player. And I get it. Micah Parsons don't grow on trees, but you can't keep fucking saying that and making the excuse and passing on guys like him year in and year out. You need 11 guys, but if you got one dynamic player, and I think, honestly, one of those guys, Hutchinson or Thibodeau, is going to stand out than the other. But we got to take a chance on one of them and build on our strength legitimately so we at least dominate some more. Our defense isn't playing as good as it was last year. I know Phil's going to kill me on that. But if this is how we're going to be, our defense legit has to win games for us.
Lorenzo Carter had 2 sacks. What are you talking about?
He did.
But, you know, and that's a gift of hindsight. Too many people are like, oh, should have taken Slater last year. We should have taken Parsons. Well, if we do something, like you mentioned, we have Kayvon Thibodeau, and then we have Evan Neal or whoever it might be at the other position, right? So now you kill two birds with one stone. You're just doing it a year later. Oh, and then Kadarius Toney was the cherry on top, as well as Aaron Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
4 players for the price of one, or the price of two, rather. I mean, I'll take it.
I just honestly, and I brought this note up, and look, the Browns always had multiple picks. They've had him in the top 10 before. Hasn't necessarily worked out golden. The Giants had 3 first-round picks. Dexter, fine, but we might not have anything with Danny and DeAndre Baker's a Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I'm going to say this, though, Tino. If I'm going to have 2 picks, I think I'd rather it be in the top 6 instead of the top 15, right? Because those top picks, you almost can't go wrong. They're consensus picks.
Unless you draft a DB.
Unless you draft a DB.
Oh, no, running back.
That's going to be the scare, because you got Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame, who's another Landon Collins, Jabril Pepper kind of linebacker.
I'm not touching anybody other than Edge.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, 3 of the top 10 players right now, 1's a wide receiver and 2 are corners. So I'm kind of warming up to Tino here.
I think they're oblivious if they don't see that. The Giants, knowing where they are, they know they have to win this franchise over, like the fan base. You're not winning it by trying to have them trust you to know what you're doing with all these draft picks. You got to be aggressive.
Now, the other thing is, too, I mean, we're still a long way away from the draft, but I would take the best offensive lineman available with the first pick. And then after that, I would possibly trade down with the second pick and see if I can accumulate more capital. There is going to be other offensive linemen that can be had later in the draft. If you end up falling a little bit later between, you know, the early teens, you can end up taking a guy like Lindebaum. So you can take him. Or there's going to be edge pass rushers available a little bit later on as well. So
you want to know the thing is, though, I think what drives me crazy, and I know it's super early for draft talk, but I can't talk about anything else with the Giants other than that, really, is just looking ahead. It's that we always do the obvious thing in the draft. Like, it's so easy to kind of pick. Like, this year was the real only curveball, right? And they trade back, but we still end up getting Aziz, a guy we kind of saw anyways. But it's so predictable all the time. It's just, they got to do something. They got it. Like, they're dying. This franchise is dying, right? The fan base is fucking dying. We're suffering.
Let me say this real quick, too. So, not last year, but the year before, we took Andrew Thomas 4th overall. Fans have eviscerated Andrew Thomas. We should have went with Tristan Wirfs. We should have went with this. We should have went with that. A year later, they're kind of eating their own words, right? And I saw a statistic. I believe Andrew Thomas is 1 of 9 players. Murph, I know you probably saw this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Andrew Thomas is 1 of 9 players with 500 or more sacks to only give up 1 sack. He's been pretty fucking damn good. Franchise left tackle. So give me picks in the top 6 again, Tino. If I'm taking 2 of them, I want to have both of them. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Edge rusher. But fuck, man. Honestly, and somebody said this. I want to give credit to Mr. Chris, I believe it was. Aiden seems like the home run. Kayvon seems like somebody that you might end up swinging on and missing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I don't necessarily think you trade up to 2. I think you trade up to 1. And the saving in all of this, I think, is that, like, Jacksonville might end up with the 1 overall pick. I think if Detroit ends up with the 1, it's going to be way harder for the Giants to get it, and it's going to be less lucrative, like, or it'll be more lucrative, I guess is what I'm saying, because Detroit actually kind of needs Aiden Hutchinson, whereas the Jags, I don't know. I mean, they kind of need everything. Like, I feel like the Lions are in a better spot. I think the Jags would be more reluctant to give up the 1 for less, knowing they're not a D end away from real.
Jags would be smart to trade down, get a guy like Evan Neal, so that this way you can protect Trevor Lawrence, who has been under a great deal of pressure so far this season, and then use the additional capital to then build out your defense or pick up more pieces in the secondary or offense, wherever you want. Because they still need pieces along that offense, too. They could use another wide receiver as well.
The Jags are going to get it as of right now. And if not, maybe Houston, right? I think the Lions are going to continue to compete and win out. If the Lions,
the Lions are probably going to win one of Atlanta or Seattle.
And they have a tie. So if Houston doesn't get more than 3 wins, the Jets don't get more than 3 wins, they're immediately jumping those 2 teams, right? So I mean, there's a window there that you can get the Jags or Houston wiggle out of those spots.
Detroit is at Atlanta, at Seattle, and then they play Green Bay.
If Houston ends up with the first overall pick, that's a team that might want to trade down to 5 or 6 and then still be able to get that quarterback, whether it be Matt Carl or whomever. Yeah, so
they need pass rusher, too, man.
They do, but I mean, that.
Wait, that's the same team that we thought was taking Reggie Bush over Mario Williams.
Well, I mean, let's face it. They need a lot of things, but if
they play the Jets, I'm sorry to cut you off, man. They play the Jets this week, so we need the fucking.
Somebody's gonna fall. Somebody's got to get the additional win.
And what a disaster that we play the Bears, right? What a fucking waste of time.
Yeah, of course we play the fucking Bears. Of course we
play the Bears. What a waste. Oh, my God. And they're going to win it, too. They're going to win that game.
So, speaking of trades, what I do want to do, I want to shift gears here and talk about what you alluded to, Tino. Trading for Russell Wilson. The hot topic right now. Albert Breer apparently did a live. He thinks that Russell Wilson is all but a done deal. Alluded to it.
He really said that? I didn't see that.
I'll send it to you. So
he did, but let's keep in mind Albert Breer is one of the biggest Giants fucking haters out there. So
no, I'm just like, I haven't heard any. I enjoy a good proclamation. I love to hear the people get into the forefront and start calling their shots now. Like, saying the word done deal is great. Like, is it? It's a done deal? Let's hear it.
The question was, who will the Giants starting quarterback be next year? And he answered Russell Wilson.
They asked first, will Danny be back from the Giants? He said no. And then someone asked, who will be the starting quarterback for the Giants? But Albert Breer has a rep for hating us, hating on us a lot.
Very true.
So it is interesting because, I mean, that shit's out there, man.
I've been getting it from different fans, people that want us to trade for Russell Wilson. I think it's a waste of assets. I think it's a waste of our time. The thing that I don't understand, even if you can get Russell Wilson for two first-rounders, so even if you do a one this year and a one next year, spread it out, you still need – so even if you take that offensive lineman with your first pick, you still need three offensive linemen. Will Hernandez is gone. Nick Gates is a question mark. Sold is as good as gone. Shane Lemieux is not very good. All right, you still have Pert. What are you going to do with Pert? He's not a starting tackle at this point. So you still need three positions along the offensive line. And then guess what? On top of that, you got to pay Russell Wilson $40 million. For a team that only has $3 million heading into next year, I get it. You can make it work by restructuring people or whatnot. Giants also still need to fill out a roster too, though. I think they only have 40-something contracts or 40-something players under contract for next year. I don't know. For me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go and trade for Russell Wilson. I mean, honestly, and this isn't even in support of Danny. If you're going to make the move, build the wall this year. Murph, I know you like that term. Build the wall and then go and get your quarterback in 2023.
Have
the offensive line in place. For me, it's better to have Andrew Thomas will be heading into his third year, so you'll still have three more years of him with the fifth-year option. You'd be taking two rookie offensive linemen. Hey, you know what's better than having a quarterback on a cheap contract? Having your offensive line on a cheap deal.
Yeah.
So,
I want to go on record because I think some of our – listeners are confused. Bill Bolt Dittler, whatever the fuck your name is. I don't not want Russell Wilson in Royal Blue. We all want Russell Wilson in Royal Blue. Who the fuck does it? You're crazy that you don't.
I don't think anybody's saying that Russell Wilson isn't an upgrade over what we have.
No, yes, and I know. And like, we love Danny. Fight for Danny to the death. But he's an upgrade, and, like, of course I want Russell Wilson, but it's not our place right now. We fucked ourselves so much that we, in my opinion, put ourselves out of that play. Russell Wilson would be crazy to even think about waiving his trade clause here, unless he's bringing, you know, I don't even know, unless he's bringing Trent Williams and a bunch of other O-linemen with him. I don't see it, man. I don't see why he would do it. I don't see why we would do it. And it's just unrealistic. But of course I want Russell Wilson in the Wilds.
I mean, who doesn't? You said it yourself. Who doesn't? As Jalen Hurts scores a touchdown, a rushing touchdown here. And I cashed a bet. I finally won, boys. I finally won. No, I get it, man. And we were talking about it. It makes no sense for Russ in a career move other than, like, moving to the Big Apple for the Big Apple. Like, everything aside from football, it makes sense for Russell Wilson to come here. But I don't know. I don't think it's a smart career move for him to come here. This is going to get annihilated. I also don't, like, maybe I get burned for saying this, but it's like, what's the difference in Russ being the placeholder and getting another veteran quarterback, like we said, being the placeholder until we inevitably have to get younger again? I don't know. I think the only case is that, you know, quarterbacks are playing a lot longer into their career, so maybe we do get Russ for a lot longer than a lot of people probably imagine, right? Like a 5-year window, but I don't know. I guess in that case, then it's more than worth it. It's just, I think it's tough because he's had some injury issues and we don't have an offensive line. So I don't know. I'm team get Russ, but I don't think it makes that much sense, to be honest with you. And I think there's just, if we can do it without really losing our place in the top 10, like maybe Seattle wants one of those top 10 picks, right? Maybe the further one back. I don't know.
I mean, realistically, like seriously, let's talk this.
Okay.
What else are you stacking? Because, like, people are delusional if they think we're getting Russell Wilson for what the cost of Stafford was. I mean,
look, if the Seattle told us that they'll give us Russ for a third rounder just to get rid of him, I'll take him.
Right. But, like, I'm serious. Realistically, you're talking about three first, probably to start.
If I'm giving up three firsts, I'm trading for Deshaun Watson, not Russell Wilson.
I'm trading for Patrick Mahomes, maybe, and I'm still questioning.
Yeah, you're not getting Pat Mahomes, so.
I'm still questioning it.
But I think because of Russ's age, I think two firsts is what you would have to give up.
Stafford set the market.
Yeah, but the Rams also treat their freaking draft picks like, I mean, you would treat, I mean, I don't know.
I don't want to say
it's going to get us canceled, but.
But it's still going to have to be close to that. And we're not even there.
I don't know, man. Regardless, at this point, I think it's too much. Even if it was a first this year and a first next year, my only thing is, if we were a quarterback away from a Super Bowl, I'd make the move. If we had a top five offensive line, if we had a top five defense, and we were just like, holy shit, we're starting Mike Glennon, I'd go and I would trade three picks for him. I would give up the two this year and the one next year to get Russ in here now. The problem is we have a 31st ranked offense. We have an offensive line that's just as bad. You're not just a quarterback away from suddenly flipping the switch. If you get Russ, you might be a wild card team. But what is that doing? Just so that we can say we've had success for 3 years, or we were able to sniff the playoffs and that's it? I just don't know if that's enough for me to ignore the inefficiency on the offensive line.
I'm with you, man. It's exhausting. It's going to be a long summer. It's going to be all we're going to hear about is Danny's neck, Russell Wilson, and Joe Judge for the next 6 months. It's going to get rough before it gets better.
Hey, Tino, by the way, the Giants got in middle linebacker.
I saw we didn't talk about that. That is actually kind of cool. We got Jalen Smith 10 years too late, you know, and that's great.
Hey, he is still 26 years old.
Yeah.
And I did point out on Twitter, it's not great, but Jalen Smith, according to PFF's grades, instantly becomes our best linebacker on this roster. And
yeah.
There are only 6 players on this defense who have a better overall grade than Jalen Smith. So he is currently our 7th best defender out of 11 people. And his coverage grades, I mean, for PFF are really good. They're in the 70s, man. We haven't had a coverage linebacker in quite some time. I know that people want to, you know, they pointed to one play this year where you kind of, you know, just didn't make any effort on the tackle, this and the other thing. And you're probably going to have those lapses still with him. But we don't have a guy that can cover sideline to sideline. If he can do that, I'm all for it, man. A lot of people are making, you know, a big deal out of the Landry shift that he did too. Yeah, in the final victory formation. But look, he was a Giant for what, 2 minutes? I'm not reading that much into it. There was a play early in the game too where he came over, he made a tackle, and then he went over to the Cowboy sideline and was taunting them. I really do. When the Cowboys cut him the first time, I was hoping that the Giants would sign him, and then Green Bay went out and got him. The fact that we got him at practice squad price and then we signed him to the 53 man roster, I like it. I think it's a really good deal for the Giants. I mean, if you were to bring him back next year and put him opposite Blake Martinez,
yeah,
I think it's a really good deal for the Giants. Well, I'm not going to
side guy against the Cowboys, which is always good. That does matter. That actually is a real thing. So, but
I would have preferred we had taken a shot on Zach Cunningham personally.
Yeah, but we didn't have the money to sign him, though. He was claimed off of waivers.
They redid his deal, so he was easily signable.
Yeah, but it was still like $4.9 million or something, I believe. It was cut down from $7 million. So the Giants only have like $353,000 under the cap. We restructured two players today just to make some room.
It's the only thing I'm not sweating about this team, Cap Smith. They'll figure that shit out.
Right, but in season it's kind of hard to sign a $5 million linebacker.
True, but he's so good.
He is good. I would have liked Zach on the hand, but.
So, do we honestly think Fromm's going to start this week?
Yeah.
QB1.
Has to, right?
Yeah. QB1. I told you guys this 2 weeks ago. Mike Glennon's terrible. He's terrible. Why is everyone – there's nothing to cross-reference to check again. We have a body of work on Mike Glennon. It doesn't get any worse. And if Jake Fromm stinks – that's okay, because we're going to stink at the quarterback position anyways. It really does no difference. Mike, it can't get any worse than Mike Glennon, dude. It just can't.
But you realize that if Jake Fromm beats the Philadelphia Eagles, it's going to be Fromm-mania for Giants fans.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
He is going to be... There won't be any. The quarterback talk will dwindle away for a week if Fromm beats the Eagles. I don't have any faith in the guy, but he needs to start. No question.
I don't see how they don't start him. So.
Can we also talk about how we don't have to talk about it, but Devontae Booker is better than Saquon?
Well, we've been stating that all season.
I'm trying to think, by the way.
He fucking continues to do it. Is Saquon ready to be number two yet?
We alluded to it earlier in the show that we had been saying that that would be a strong, you know, game plan for the Giants moving forward. And then you said that the Giants listen to the fans. Do you think they actually listen to Clapback Sports?
I don't know, man.
Do you think they hate us because of how right we are?
Look, hey, Tino, I told you early in the show, I am now an NFL source. I am a Giants insider.
We're credentialed.
Where do you think I get my information from other than John Mara?
Kim Jones?
No. Fuck Kim Jones. Kim Jones blocked me. But I get my information directly from John Mara. Of course he listens to Clapback Sports, Dino. What a stupid question that is.
Not a carpenter? Not your plumber?
Plumber, carpenter.
And speaking of carpenter, dude, fuck you, Mage.
Why?
Because you made fun of me because for some reason I said I had a bad feeling when that shit happened, and it was true.
Yeah, but you were. Never mind.
I'm pretty sure we were recording right now.
We were recording, but you're right. The carpenter was right. So
I just fucking knew, man. Like I knew that. I scrolled that dude's page and I was like, this dude doesn't even like sports. Like, why would somebody like this tweet something like this? And then he went private and I was like, dude, something ain't right here. Something ain't right.
And then he deleted it.
Did he delete it? Well, he went private. I don't know if he deleted. Actually, no, because I follow him on my own account. He might have deleted it now, but he didn't. He just went private. But that shit sucks, man. That's what it is. But I just needed to call your ass out. All right.
Whatever.
Jake from State Farm is going to lead us to victory over the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. Look, meaningless win.
Just give me something to root for. I don't care. I want to see progress. I want to start evaluating players. I hope that Jay Fromm starts the whole game. I want to see Matt Pert in there. Let me see more Jalen Smith. Let me see Quincy Roche. I want to start evaluating players. That's where I'm at with this fucking team. So fuck off, Giants. Fuck off, Mara. Fuck off, Tish.
I just love that this thing is blowing up all the way to, like, the talking head now saying how dysfunctional the Giants are. And, yeah, we're homers. Yeah, we rooted for our team to win, but we all knew deep down what the fucking sole issue of this thing is. And now it just seems like it's a countrywide
thing. Get your free soda here!
Jesus Christ.
Also, let's start one last thing. The GoFundMe for the billboard. I know you guys have been rounding this up. I do think it's something that needs to happen, and we're not here to tell you what the billboard is going to say. I'd love to hear everyone's opinion. You could add clapback on what you think could go on the billboard. I do think doing it by me near MetLife will be costly if we want to do it more than a week.
I sent you the prices.
I saw. It's pricey. A couple thousand for the week on a full billboard. It's understandable. If we get the message through, it's understandable. But I think the message is important. I floated a few out to you guys. I don't think we need to name them here because that might get us canceled. But I want to hear what the fans think. And if you're on board to get a billboard to, I guess, just protest the Giants. I will say this one. I wanted to put the New York Taints in Giants lettering. And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like the Saints. But really what I was going for was the Giants, but with flipping the I and the A. So it spells Taints. Again, not the one we're choosing, but I thought, you know, all ideas are accepted. All ideas are accepted is what I was getting at. So,
so shout out to at all about NYG because he and I were DMing about this a couple weeks ago. He wanted to get a plane, and he actually did enough research to find out that it's a no-fly zone on game days.
That makes sense.
So we would definitely have to do a billboard because they can't have any control over that.
If it makes you feel any better, being from this area as close as I am, I know there's one really good billboard spot that I think we can get. It's like right off 495, you loop, and it's right before you get onto Route 3. And it's right cornered in front of a Best Buy, and it's just like an ideal spot where everyone sees it. It's close enough and far enough to the stadium that I don't think they'll catch it right away. We'll have to do some deep digging on it, but I have the spot for it. I really think we just need to figure out what it's going to say. And round up the GoFundMe.
I liked my idea better.
What was it?
I think we just put like a John Mara shirt on Murph, and I just toss him from the 300 section right onto the field.
I would agree, but the problem is I'm not fucking going to that stadium anymore.
That's a good point.
Until we're two games over 500. How many times do we have to talk about this, man?
Well, fuck. That'll be a day.
Philip, take one for the team, Philip.
What if we all just throw ourselves off the top of this billboard until the Giants trade up for the number one overall pick?
I've just decided that they're not worth my pain. They already give me enough pain. They will kill me one day, so what's the point of speeding it up?
You're right. No comment on this end.
All right, let's wrap this bitch up. I gotta give y'all my MTV Cribs episode.
That's exciting. Yeah, I'm excited for this.
It's not for the viewers or the listeners.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.